Our readings this weekend are all about sheep and shepherding. And so this Sunday has often come to be called Good Shepherd Sunday. Now, I don't know what you think about when you think about a sheep, but we normally have kind of a positive image of sheep. In fact, sometimes I think when we think about sheep, maybe we think about a little sheep like this. It's kind of fuzzy and cuddly, and it's got cute floppy little ears with a little tuft of fur and a little bow on his head, and it's got a little patch that says Jesus loves me on his butt right there. That is cute. And that's what I think we think when we think of a sheep. We're like, oh, sheep are so cute. Well, we might like to think of ourselves as a nice, happy little group of sheep, and aren't we all cute? But you know, one time I was on the internet and I saw this book written by a Protestant pastor, and I got it for Father Brian as a little present. It's called When Sheep Attack. Because the truth is, sometimes we are not just a happy bunch of little sheep that are so fuddly and cute and cuddly. No, sometimes sheep attack. And why do we do that? Well, you know, sometimes we can tend to get a little disgruntled as sheep with our shepherds. And not always for bad reasons. Sometimes we have good reason to be a little frustrated with our shepherds. So on this Good Shepherd Sunday, a Sunday where we also recognize the World Day of Prayer for Vocations, I thought maybe a little bit in defense of shepherds, we would speak a little bit about the gift of shepherds that God has given to his church, especially in the bishops, in our Pope, and even our priests. We get disgruntled with our shepherds sometimes and are not always the nicest sheep because very much we see that our shepherds are flawed. They make bad decisions sometimes. Sometimes they do sinful things. They do all kinds of things that would bring scandal, and we think they're not very good shepherds. They're not imaging the good shepherd. That's all well and true. But if we look at how does the church get its shepherds? Well, we go back to the apostles and we look, how did Jesus choose his apostles? And we might look with our worldly wisdom and say, well, it doesn't make any sense the people Jesus chose. I mean, if Jesus were smart, he would have chosen the leaders of the Jewish people. You know, Pharisees, Sadducees, scribes, people who knew what the heck they were doing to lead his church. But he doesn't do that. Jesus chooses as his apostles fishermen, tax collectors, zealots, people not all that well educated, people who would no one would think of as born leaders, certainly. And he chooses these people to be his apostles. It seems illogical. Why does he do that? Well, I'd like to think that perhaps Jesus chooses these unworthy and unlikely shepherds precisely because they are unlikely and unworthy. What would happen if Jesus had chosen what the world deemed to be the most important, most prepared people to lead his church? Well, we'd be likely to say then, well, the church was able to succeed because it had such great leadership at the beginning. That's why the church prospered. We see that the most well-prepared people led it at the beginning. Well, that's not true at all. I mean, we look at St. Peter, right after Jesus names him the head of his church, the rock upon which our faith will be established. Well, Peter goes off and tries to tell Jesus not to go die on the cross, and Jesus has to say, "Get behind me, Satan." I mean, what was this? Is he the rock or is he Satan? You know, it doesn't look very good for Peter at the beginning, and of course he ends up denying Jesus. Not so good for the rock. And of course, we see, yesterday we celebrated the feast of the Apostle Matthias. He's the apostle, if you remember, that was chosen to replace Judas. Let's not forget here that 1/12 of the apostles actually betrayed Jesus to the authorities and then went out and hanged himself. Not looking too good for the apostles. But notice that the apostles don't sit around and mope and say, well, the church is doomed because we're just going to mess it all up. No, Peter gets up and says, you know what? Judas was one of us. Now he's gone. He didn't do so well, but his office remains. And that's an important thing to keep in mind. The apostles share in an office. They are given a special task by the good shepherd to share in his ministry of shepherding. So when Judas goes astray, they don't say, woe is us. Peter says we must replace his office because although he was not good, his office is holy. His office is established by Jesus, so we must fill the office, and they elect Matthias, chosen by God to fill that office. I think this is important to keep in mind when we look at our shepherds today and we tend to want to be sheep that attack. What about our shepherds today? Well, not much has changed from the early church. Today, we too see the flaws in our shepherds and we want to say, gosh, we should choose different people to be the leaders of our church. And if we were to choose people to be leaders of our church, who would we choose? Well, probably we'd want to choose some people that have good financial management ability. Parish is a big corporation to run. We'd want to choose people that have great leadership ability, that could motivate people. We'd probably want to choose people that are trained counselors and psychologists to deal with all the troubles that people have. Those are the kind of people we choose. We'd probably certainly want to choose some women to lead the church. Often people ask, why can't women be priests? They do a heck of a lot better job than men in a lot of cases. Definitely all true. If we were to choose the leaders of the church, we'd have a bunch of old people, women, men, children, talented people, people that are in the tops of their field, people that would make sense to lead a billion-member church throughout the world. All true. But if we did that, if we chose the people we thought most qualified, then I think we'd be tempted, if the church, let's say, succeeded, as it has done wildly throughout the world, well, we'd be tempted to say, well, the church succeeds today because we have such great leaders. We are blessed that we have such a wonderful Pope. That's really the secret of success. But we all know that that's not why the early church succeeded. It's not why the church continues so beautifully its mission today. It is not because of its great leaders. Rather, the church is not great because of its leaders. The church is great and successful because God is great. God chooses shepherds, unlikely though we might be, because in his scheme of thinking, these are the people through whom he chooses to work. So the church is what it is, not because of the holiness of its ministers, but because of the holiness of God and the holiness of the people that he creates. You know, Peter gets up to give his first homily today on Pentecost. And what does he start off with? Hey, you all that killed Jesus. I'm like, Peter, hey, okay. If you want to win friends and influence people, don't start off by calling your congregation murderers. That's a bad start. But that's what he does. And what would we suspect would be the result? Well, we think that they'd pick up stones to throw at Peter. But what do? They say, Peter, you're right. What do we have to do? We want to be baptized. Amazing. God works through Peter. Sometimes I find that I give a homily and I'll be like, that was awful. And I'll get back there and someone will be in the back of church saying, Father, that was the most beautiful homily I've ever heard. I'm like, it reminds me that it's not me. It's God who chooses to work through his shepherds, often in spite of their own personal unworthiness. I know that kept me from being a priest for a long time. I would look at the things that a priest has to do and I would say, Lord, you give me a lot of gifts. I'm a software engineer. I like computers. They do what I tell them to do and they always behave in predictable ways. People are not like that. I don't want to be a leader of a bunch of people. I don't know what they're going to do. They might bite me. They might be sheep that attack. I don't know. Like, God, I know how to program computers. I can't get people to do anything I want them to do. You need to choose somebody else to be a priest because I'm not a good counselor. I'm not a good teacher. I'm not very smart. I don't know any philosophy. Choose somebody else. And God, in his strange sort of way, said, no, I want you to be a priest. I'm like, well, okay. And I'm reminded over and over again that I think it's good that God chose a dunderhead like me to be a priest, that he chose apostles that seemed unworthy, that he gives us bishops and popes today that we don't know why he chose them, so that every time something goes right, we can say, it's God. God makes the church holy. God chooses ministers who he will make holy. So when the church succeeds, we should say, praise God. Thanks be to God that he has given us the shepherds he has. Because the truth is, there have been some bad ones. There have been popes that have been absolute scoundrels. That's all true. But in the midst of that, we've had some pretty good ones too. Blessed Pope John Paul II now. We think of the beloved priest in our life, Father Frank, who we celebrated at his funeral. We think of those people that really did image the Good Shepherd. But here's the key on this Good Shepherd Sunday. No matter what kind of sheep we might be, what kind of shepherds we might have, always be thankful that it is the voice of the Good Shepherd that we hear. Even through those scoundrel popes, none of them ever taught error. When they taught in the name of the church, it was always the voice of the Good Shepherd that spoke. Today, we pray that we might have good shepherds, ones that really do image the holiness of the Good Shepherd. But no matter what kind of shepherds we might have, that we might learn to hear the voice of the Good Shepherd, even amidst all the unworthiness, the unlikely candidates that he gives us, and that we might be thankful. Thankful that our Good Shepherd really does guard us as the gate of the sheep. He protects us, even despite our own unworthiness. We pray on this World Day of Prayer for Vocations that we might have more good shepherds, especially to celebrate the Eucharist, but that we might also have holy families, because it is from families that our vocations to priesthood and any service come. May God bless parents as they shepherd their children. May God continue to bless our church with good shepherds after the heart of the one good shepherd.